Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight. I hope you will find our call informative and useful. I'm Neil Kelly, OPG's Director of Media Relations. I will act as the moderator for tonight's call. We are going to try not to take up too much of your time. We'll try to finish by about 7:30 p.m. this evening. Now, this is the call for the Kaministikwia River System. And as we are experiencing a high volume of calls, if you do get kicked off the line, please call back. Also, before we get moving, I do want to acknowledge the unprecedented times that we are all working and living through. OPG produces about half of the power that you use every day in this province. We power your hospitals, businesses, and of course your homes. We do that by safely operating 10 of the province's nuclear units, 66 hydroelectric stations. We have biomass, gas, oil, and some solar. Like many of you, most OPG employees are now working remotely from home, and only essential staff are in the stations as they work to keep the lights on. We have instituted physical distancing to keep workers safe, continuous cleaning of our stations, and strong hygiene practices and protocols. We are also operating all facilities in accordance with Ontario public health guidelines and are aligned with the actions of the World Health Organization, the Public Health Agency of Canada, and Ontario's Ministry of Health. Now tonight, we're joined by Paul Gardetti, who is the Regional Vice President of OPG's Northwest Operations. Also with me is Dwayne Korchuk, Production Manager with Northwest Operations based in Thunder Bay. And also with us, Aaron Delpino, OPG's Vice President of Environment and Health and Safety. Aaron's team has been leading OPG response to COVID-19 since January. You will be able to ask a question to any of these people. Also, we are all practicing physical distancing and are calling in remotely. We apologize for any technical issues we may run into. I'm going to start by talking about what you need to know to participate in this evening's call. If you have any questions for the panel, please press star 3 to get in line to ask a question. Just a reminder, press star 3 to get in line to ask your question. Also, as I said earlier, we are experiencing a high number of calls, so if you do get kicked off the line, please dial back in. Now, this evening's agenda is fairly straightforward. Paul is going to give a brief overview about OPG and then talk a bit about our operations in the northwest area of Ontario with a focus on the Cam River system. I would remind you that if you want to ask a question, if you'd like to ask any question at any time on the call, you can press star 3 to get in line to ask that question, and everybody will get the same chance. I'd now like to introduce Paul Gardetti, Vice President with OPG in the Northwest region. Paul?
Thanks, Neil. Before we start talking about the Cam watershed, I would like to talk about what OPG, and in particular Northwest Operations, is doing to manage our operations as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. As Neil mentions, OPG plays a vital role in Ontario by generating half of its electricity. Now more than ever, the people of Ontario count in on our service. Having said that, the health and safety of our employees and the public remains our top priority. OPG began preparing for the possibility of a pandemic way back in the early 2000s. Since those early beginnings, those plans have been regularly updated and tested. For COVID-19, we have been preparing since mid-January, and our plans have been based on a staged approach. Some of the actions we have taken are having all staff who can perform work from home, limiting access to our control rooms to just operating staff only, restricting access to our stations to only staff essential to do the work absolutely necessary to keep the stations running, holding meetings by using applications like Microsoft Teams and Skype, and we've been encouraging our employees to practice physical distancing outside of work and at home. Within Northwest Operations, our continuity plans are in place, and our Emergency Operations Center has been activated to help us manage the potential impacts of COVID-19. We are aware that we are entering into spring freshet, and that has been taken into consideration into our plans. Our stakeholder outreach and information sharing will continue throughout the Freshet to ensure our key stakeholders have up-to-date and accurate information. With that said, let me now turn my attention to the topic of our town hall this evening. If you called in, it means you want to hear about OPG's operations in the Northwest. I'll take a few minutes to talk about our operations and then follow with an overview of the Cam River. The Northwest operations has 11 hydroelectric generating stations in northwestern Ontario with 7 controlled dams and 5 river systems. We also have 1 biomass station in Atikokan. All combined, there's a total capacity of 1,150 megawatts. Northwestern region extends from Terrace Bay to the Manitoba border, and we have a presence in the communities of Terrace Bay, Nipigon, Thunder Bay, Kakabeka Falls, Atikokan, Ear Falls, and Kenora. All our facilities in northwestern Ontario are operated remotely out of the Northwest Control Center here in Thunder Bay. Staff are dispatched to sites regularly to perform repairs and maintenance, as well as perform log operations at our control dams to control water levels and flows. Now, a little bit about the Cam River system, and then I'll pass it over to Duane, who will speak about our water management plan and how we operate the system. We'll start with how the system works. The Cam River system is made up of 2 different catchment areas. The Dog Lake watershed is the northern part of the system, which during normal conditions flows through Silver Falls Generating Station. During wet conditions, we have to take the excess flow and pass it through Dog Lake Dam. Both Silver Falls GS and Dog Lake Dam flow into Little Dog Lake. From Little Dog Lake, the water passes into the Upper Cam River. We know that as the Dog River. The western watershed includes Greenwater and Cashabawi, which flows into Shipandoan Lake. From Shipandoan Lake, the water then flows down the Shipandoan River, picking up the water along the way from the Matawan watershed. Cam River, the Upper Cam River, and the Shipandoan River converge immediately upstream of Highway 102 Bridge. From there, water flows down towards Kekabeka, where it either goes through the GS at Kekabeka Falls or through the dam and over the falls into the Lower Cam River. From there, the water then flows downstream towards Stanley, Roslyn Village, Whitewater Golf Course, Froem Historical Park, the Resident Mill, and then out towards Lake Superior. There's a public safety concern with passing water from Dog Lake Dam as water flows down through a popular hiking area. So we very rarely want to pass water through there, only if we have to. There's a flooding concern on the Upper Cam as the Ellis Road Bridge restricts flows and limits it before inundation onto private property occurs. We had this in 2008 and 2012 when during high water events, the flow on the Upper Cam reached 250 cubic meters per second. Typically, these flows are between 80 and 100. Another area where flooding is a concern is at the Fort William Historical Park. Winter flooding at the park can occur due to fragile ice accumulation in a section of the river below the park. But open water flooding like we have now can occur at flows greater than 200 cms. I want to reiterate that although OPG does have some storage within our river systems and we prepare for freshet as best we can, we cannot keep water out of the river systems. Storage is depleted in the river reservoirs. We have no choice but to pass the water that is coming through the system. In many places, it's essential that we pass water in increments to ensure enough room is left in the reservoir for peak inflow due to large rain events. During freshet, we have our production crews ready and waiting to go to site at any time to perform log operations. In challenging freshet conditions, many log operations are performed late at night and in the very early morning hours, sometimes twice a day. So that's an overview of our operations on the Cam River system. So back to you, Neil.
Okay, thanks, Paul. That's lots of good information there. It's a very complex system, so I'm glad you took the time to explain that. Before we open it up to questions, I'll turn it over to Duane to provide an overview of water management practices across the Cam River. Duane Korchuk, can you talk about what we do to prepare for freshet and how the water is managed?
Sure. Thanks, Neil. So I can start off by providing a brief overview of our annual water management cycle. In the winter, water levels in our reservoirs are drawn down. meaning there's less water behind the dam and more room in the reservoir for snowmelt and spring rain. So in late winter and early spring, these reservoirs are refilled according to the water management plans and best practices. Most of our reservoirs have a target date established in the plans, the date by which we must reach our summer minimum water elevations. So in the summer, those reservoirs slowly let some of that water out, and this helps manage summer minimum requirements and assist in drought mitigation. It also helps with recreation along the watersheds. In the fall, unlike the spring, the reservoirs are used to capture fall rains. So throughout the winter and leading into and through spring freshet, snow surveys are conducted. Weather modeling takes place, and a collaborative approach is employed amongst OPG, the MNRF, and private dam operators to ensure the most up-to-date information is shared and coordinated to help with best water management practices. So this is a typical cycle, but it depends on weather. And as we know, weather is unpredictable. Ideally, we would have cooler nights and warmer days, which contributes to a slow snow melt. But we know it doesn't happen that way. So very warm temperatures can increase the melt, resulting in more water in the system. Along with temperature, another significant variable for us is precipitation. Spring rain events coupled with snow melt can lead to high water situations, as Paul previously mentioned.
Okay, thank you, Dwayne. Before we get to your questions, let me remind you to press *3 to ask a question. Now, Dwayne, I do want to ask you a question. Is there anything you're doing differently this year in terms of drawdown or refill of the reservoirs? And what is the risk of waiting longer before starting to refill those reservoirs?
Yeah, good question, Neil. And the short answer is that we generally follow the same practices every year. Although in some cases, we can draw down deeper than previous years, this isn't always possible. The risk of waiting longer to start refilling is having a spring with less precipitation, which then leads to not reaching our summer minimums according to the prescribed dates. This could have implications on the environment, local economies, businesses like outfitters and tourist camps who may have to postpone their seasons if their clients can't get their boats in the water.
Okay, thanks very much, Dwayne. That makes a lot of sense. Now, can you outline the current conditions for us across the area, and then we can open up the phone lines to questions?
Sure, Neil. I can start by talking a little bit about the snow and what we're seeing across the watersheds. The snow data is a set of data that we use when we're planning our refill strategies. So it indicates how much water is in the snow, how much water can potentially enter the system during spring melt. We know this is only an indication, and that rain is a large variable on the water in the system. So our production crews go out and do snow sampling on the 1st and 15th of each month, starting in January and ending when there's no snow. They use a long tube and take a core sample of the snow, which measures the depth as well as the weight, to establish its water content. So our snow survey results are posted on the OPG.com website shortly after the 1st and 15th of each month. And as of April 1st, we had more snow in the Atticoke and Thunder Bay regions, around normal snow in the Geraldton Terrace Bay regions, and less snow in the Conroy Falls regions. With Dog Lake, the snow survey, we're seeing values around 123% of normal, meaning we have 23% more snow than average. We have 55 centimeters of snow depth and 151 millimeters of snow water equivalent. So the Atticoken snow survey, we're seeing a value of 134% of normal, with 37 centimeters of snow depth and 119 millimeters of snow water equivalent. So we're seeing the forecast over the next couple of weeks hopefully be conducive to a slow melt with some below zero nights and warmer days. If this plays out, it will hopefully lend itself to a melt that is closer to normal in this area. So the current level and flow conditions, we started to see inflows pick up into the Cam watershed starting April 2nd, 3rd, from snow melt and small amounts of rain. The inflows on the Cam watershed are normal for this time of year. Reservoir water levels have been drawn down over the winter, in some cases a little lower than normal, but in anticipation of freshet. So the longer-term overview, while it's not possible to completely rule out the occurrence of a large spring freshet, we can say that we're in a good position with our reservoirs drawn down to handle freshet. Operationally, I'd say we are ready. The weather specialists are seeing signs of average precipitation to come in the next few weeks, which would be beneficial for the spring freshet period.
Okay, thanks very much, Dwayne. A lot of good information there. We're going to go to questions in about 30 seconds. I just want to remind everybody, if you want to ask a question, press star 3 and we'll take your question. So our first question is from Bob. Bob, do you want to ask your question?
Yes, my question is about water levels in the spring. I've been a Shibanoite for 75 years, full-time last 6 years, and the lake is so low that it draws the water table down and my well goes dry every year. And you're working off the bottom perimeter, which is probably only 4 inches away. I guess what I'm asking is that what's the downside of having it 8 to 10 inches more? And if you're looking at where the water comes from, I mean, in the fall you drop 8 inches in October. Just
okay,
went
thanks.
Boom, out the door, gone. And the river's high, and Kekabeka is like springtime coming over the falls.
Okay, thanks
I
for
guess
your question
my,
there,
my
Bob.
My question really is management of the water.
Yeah, okay, Bob, we're going to give that question to Dwayne. Dwayne, do you want to go ahead?
Sure. Thanks, Bob, for the question. It's a complicated system. So the water management plan was definitely developed to support all the stakeholders on the lake, on Shibanduan, on Greenwater, on Cache. But we also have to take into account fish, fur bears, plants, other parts of the ecosystem that pertain to the lakes and rivers. We also have Dog Lake to keep in mind. And Shibanduan, as you know, flows as it flows south and east, connects into where Dog Lake flow comes from on the Cam River and Shibanduan rivers join, and then heads to Kekabeka. So where that influence is, it has an impact on Kekabeka for sure. And what we try to do is we maintain that elevation on Shibanduan based on historical averages to an area that allows us to draw down Shibanduan Lake and allow for freshet to refill it. It's not only good for the animals, the fish, but it's also important to allow us to get water from Dog Lake down the system as well.
Okay, thanks very much, Dwayne. And Bob, thank you very much for the question. Our next question is from Jason. Jason, please go ahead and ask your question.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jason. I'm a upper Kaministiqua River above the Ellis Bridge. Been there for 50 years and experienced those two floods in 2008 and 2012. Nothing else have I experienced like them within that 50-year period of time. Caused a lot of damage at my place. Just wanting to know if the Cam Water Management Plan has been amended to prevent such recurrences.
Okay, thank you, Jason. Paul, do you want to answer that question?
Yeah, I will. Jason, I certainly hope that we don't run into the events that we've had in 2008, 2012. Can I guarantee it? No, I can't. I know since 2008 and 2012, to answer your question, the management plan hasn't been amended, but we have taken some steps to try to not bring the lake up as fast and as high as we did in those 2 years, in 2008, 2012, and tried to move as close to the compliance lines that we have as possible without going through those lower compliance limits. So it's a little bit of a balancing act, and that's the one major change that we have done since 2008, 2012.
Okay, thank you, Paul. And Jason, thank you very much for your question. So our next question comes from Al. Al, if you want to ask your question, you're on the line. Al, are you there? Tell you what, Al, if Al's there, you're on the line, Al.
Hello.
Oh, hi, is this Al?
This is Al.
Hi, Al. It's Neil Kelly here. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi. So I live on Chibando, and I missed out a bunch of your comments on the water levels on Chibando, and I was just curious if you're going to keep them at around the same as you did last year.
Okay. Thanks for the question, Al. I'll throw that one over to Dwayne. Can you take that, Dwayne?
Yeah, sure. Our present plan is we're right on target with our preferred option line with the water management plan, and very similar to last year. Don't have a crystal ball in front of me to tell me exactly what fresh it is going to be like, but we suspect it will be very similar to last year.
Okay, thanks, Dwayne. And Al, thanks very much for the question. Just a reminder, if you have a question, please press *3 to ask your question, and we'll try to get to as many as we possibly can this evening. Our next caller is Adrian. Adrian, go ahead. Adrian's no longer there, so we're not going to go to Adrian. Okay. So I do have a question from an email, and the question is: I live on an island at the lower part of Chibandawan Lake. For the past 3 years now, my well goes dry almost every fall, but I wouldn't if you just kept the level 6 inches higher. Is this the new normal? Why can't you just keep the lake 6 inches higher? What possible harm could that do? Dwayne, maybe you could answer this question.
Sure, Neil. So very similar to the question that was asked before. Again, it's about how the water management plan is developed to support all the stakeholders on the lake as well as the ecosystem around them. So it's that balancing act between all the lakes, balancing the interests of the people on the river and the people on Dog Lake as well, on the upper portion of the cam, as well as the people on the lower portion of the cam. So it is a bit of a sharing of all the different conditions as we go through the different stages in the watershed.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Dwayne. So our next caller is Melanie. Melanie's in Thunder Bay. Melanie, you want to ask your question?
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. It's actually not a question. It's just I realized that when you were discussing frazzle ice that many of the callers may not understand what frazzle ice is compared to other ice on the river or the lakes. And if you could explain that a little clearer so people understand what frazzle ice is and why it contributes to the flooding, especially in the lower parts of the cam when it does develop.
Okay, thanks for the question, Melanie. Paul, do you want to take a crack at that?
Yeah, great question, Melanie. Forgive me for using a term that not many people would realize what it is, but frazzle ice is like broken up ice cubes that actually form in a river when you don't get a nice ice cover on that river. As water goes over some rapids, it subcools and forms this ice, and it's a whole bunch of ice cubes. And it could be as deep as the whole river, and it ends up blocking the river and causing an ice blockage. And then it causes from upstream of that, as what happens at the historical park, it causes flooding into the historical park. So what we try doing through the month of December and January is to try keeping the river levels as still as possible so that we can form a nice ice cap so that frazzle ice doesn't get formed so that frazzled ice doesn't block the areas down below the river.
Okay, thanks, Paul. And that's a good answer. Our next question comes from Stephen. Stephen's in Thunder Bay. Stephen, do you want to go ahead and ask your question?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Neil. I had a two-part question. I noticed that the new dam in the Lower Shibandwan has been completed. Very good job. What is the expected life term of that? And with the Thunder Bay Generator Station, what is the intended plan to move that station forward?
Okay, thanks for the question there, Stephen. Paul, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, sure. I'll take that one on. Thanks, Steve, for the question. We're hoping to get 100 years out of that dam. Great job by our project crew and GDB in doing that dam and rehabilitating it. Looks great. We hope to get 100 more years out of that dam. With regards to the Thunder Bay Generating Station, our plan right now is we have a real estate firm that's looking at selling the location for us. We're going to be taking in proposals from proponents by the end of April, and we're hoping that somebody else can take it over and repurpose it for another purpose.
Okay, thanks very much, Paul. Just a reminder, please press *3 to ask a question. Now, Paul, I have an email question from Joey, and I'm going to ask you to answer this one. And Joey says, I am an avid whitewater paddler. I teach on several sites along the Cam River system, relying on them for part of my income. Can OPG guarantee flows on certain dates throughout the year to accommodate our user group? Paul, could you answer that question for Joey?
Yeah, that's something that's very difficult for us to do. Silver Falls Generating Station is a peaking station and could be called on, you know, every 5 minutes. It can go up, it can go down. So to guarantee a guaranteed flow out of Silver Falls is something that we just can't do. It has to follow what the electricity system needs, and thus it'll either come on if the system needs the power or shut off if it doesn't. So it's very difficult for us to provide constant flows down that river system.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul. And Joey, hopefully you're happy with that answer. Our next caller is Adrian. Adrian's in Rosalind. And Adrian, go ahead and ask your question.
Hey, thank you. I have a cabin on Dog Lake, and I've been there for quite a number of years. And I'm not really sure why this forum is going on. Is it that there's going to be a dramatic change in the water levels compared to previous years? Or because I watch your page where it has the current water level every week, and it's been following that line pretty closely with the exception of 08 and 12, of course. But is there going to be a dramatic change this year, or I don't understand why what's happening?
Okay, Adrian, that's a good question. Dwayne, can I ask you to answer that?
Yeah. So, Adrian, just want to get that straight. You're talking about Dog Lake, correct?
Yeah, I think are you still there, Adrian?
Lake.
Yeah, I think he's gone, but I think that's exactly what he's talking about.
Okay. So Dog Lake, we've been drawing it down, preparing for freshet, getting ready to receive the big inflows that come to Dog Lake every year. We've been following basically the lower 1 and 4, or the 1 and 4 year line, I guess, our lower quartile line. It was in preparation for work that we were going to do on the Silver Falls Generating Station, but with the COVID pandemic, that work's been basically deferred. So we continued to operate our generating station. We feel there's a fairly strong freshet capability in that area with the increased snowfall, seeing some of the water from the fall still in the system. So we've sort of followed the lower 1 and 4 year elevations for Dog Lake, just anticipating that a greater increase in flows is likely this spring. So we're going to continue on that path, and if you continue to watch the OPG website, you'll see that our water managers are very closely trying to maintain the level approximately with that lower 1 in 4 year elevation.
Okay, Neil, can I say something as well?
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, Adrian is also asking about the why we're having this call. We're taking advantage of another forum in order to be able to get people to comment and ask us questions on the CAM watershed. So, do we expect that there'll be a problem this year? No. We were hoping it'll be a normal year and things will go as planned. But that's not why we're doing this. We're doing this so that people can ask us questions, get an understanding of what their concerns are, so that we can learn a little bit more about the watersheds ourselves and be able to make changes if we have to.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Paul. Thanks for clarifying that. We're about halfway through the call, so I want to keep going to as many questions as we can. Rebecca, you're up next. Rebecca, you've got a question. Rebecca in Ware.
Hello. Hi. Yeah, I live on the Upper Cam, or the Little Dog River, as I like to call it, and I am a few kilometers downstream from Jason, who called previously. And I just wanted to make a comment that I really appreciate the fact that although the water management plan did not change, the protocol that you follow, the lower limit when you're filling Dog Lake to mitigate the flood risk on the Upper Cam is something I really appreciate because I feel like I worked long and hard to get that to happen. So thank you. Please continue to do that. And the other one is the other question that maybe you partly answered because you've told me about what the snow load is that's still to come. Is do you have a date where you're thinking of beginning to refill Dog Lake?
Okay, thanks for the question, Betty. Dwayne, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, thanks, Rebecca. Good to talk to you again. It's just starting now, so we're just starting to see inflows starting to rise coming into Dog Lake. The cold weather we've experienced here the past few days is going to continue for another right up until I think around Friday, Saturday. So then things will start to warm up again. We'll probably see some more increase of inflows into the reservoir. So I would expect that next week we'll start to see the elevation on Dog Lake start to come up again. We've been holding it close to the bottom there in preparation for that, and expect that to happen within next week or so.
Okay, thanks very much, Dwayne. Just a reminder, press star 3 to ask any of your questions. Okay, I'm going to go to an email question from Peter. Peter says, as a local kayaker using Crooked Rapids for the last 30 years, we notice that there are now no trespassing signs at all of our traditional put-ins and takeouts. And what has changed? Paul, do you want to answer that?
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, Peter, what we've seen over the last few years is members of the public using that for other means, camping there, having campfires, and then leaving a mess. Leaving their garbage behind. Those areas are actually owned by OPG, so we do have an obligation to make sure that it doesn't get misused. So that's why we put the no trespassing signs there.
Okay, thanks very much, Paul. Just a reminder, press star 3 to ask a question. So our next question, we're going to go to Betty from Nipigon. Betty, please go ahead with your question.
My question is, for the total area that the OPG runs the water, controls the water that flows into Lake Superior, are you getting any pressure because of the water levels of Lake Superior and ultimately down Lake Huron and that to hold back water, or do you have any control over that?
Dwayne, do you want to see if you can answer that question from Betty?
Sure. Yeah, Betty. We do have a couple of different rivers that flow directly into Lake Superior. So Cam itself flows into Lake Superior, and Nipigon River flows into Lake Superior. Those are the two that we control. We have had discussions with the IJC about the Great Lakes and the water levels and how they are being affected by higher levels presently. The water that we have going into Lake Superior is two out of approximately 200 different rivers that flow into Lake Superior. So our portion of that is relatively small, and is, if you look through the whole Great Lakes system, we're less than 1.5 to 2% of the total inflow going into the lake. So we have had some discussions. We haven't moderated or changed our flow regimes. We're basically sticking to the water management plans that we have in place and working within those plans.
Okay, thanks, Dwayne. So let's go to our next question. It comes to us from Peter in Stanley. Peter, please go ahead. Peter, are you there?
Hang on, I'm coming.
Okay, well, we're going to move on from Peter.
I phone for 10 seconds and you called. Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Peter.
I live on the Cam River between the Whitefish River, where it comes into the Cam, and the Stanley Bridge, which is all floodplain. It's terrible here. I've lived here for 46 years. My property's been flooded at least 12 times, and I had a sewage event in 2012, I believe. Anyways, is there any way we can protect our property from these kind of situations?
Okay, thanks very much for the question. Paul, do you want to answer that?
Well, boy, yes. Peter, nice, good question, a tough question. You know, as you said, you are in a floodplain there, and one of the issues that you have is you're almost getting the double whammy. You're getting the waters from the upper Cam river system, but plus you also get the waters from the other river sources on the lower side. So that becomes an issue because the rain events could happen over any part of the watershed and affect you. So, you know, other than sandbagging, I don't know what else you could do. We try to look at what the weather is, and we try to prepare. We try to lower our watershed so that we can absorb these big events. And having these dams allow us to absorb some of the ones that you don't get. So we try doing our best, but sometimes when the rain comes, in order to protect our dams and so that it don't fail, we don't have a dam safety event. We just have to pass water.
Okay, thank you, Paul, and thanks very much for the question, Peter. Our next question comes to us from Dan. Dan's in Thunder Bay. Dan, please go ahead.
Hi, gents. I am on the lower part of the Cam River, and in the springtime when we get some of these large rain events and stuff like that, and, you know, you have to release some of that water, you know, my neighbors and myself scramble to get our boats out of the water and stuff like that, batten down everything. And just wondering if there is a system of awareness or something that can let us know that, you know, you're going to be releasing more than normal so that we can, you know, properly adjust for that.
Okay, thanks very much, Dan. Paul, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, Dwayne will mention it at the end of the our talk here today, but we do have a webpage that you can go and look and see and track how we're doing. And on that, we update that daily, and we provide on there when we're going to be making flow changes. Both at Dog, at Shabandoan, at Cache, and then subsequently at Kekabeka Falls. So if you go to the OPG website and check under water levels and flows, you'll be able to pick out any river system, and more importantly, be able to pick out the Cam and see how we're doing. Or what we're going to do.
Okay, thanks very much, Paul.
Oh, Neil, can I just add something to that?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
So, like Paul said, our web Our website has all the level and flow information, but we also try to put some short words in there, short paragraphs, just to give some people or people a bit of an idea what the forecast is. So we usually try to give a couple days look out to just to say this is what's happening. So, and we try to keep that up Monday to Friday to the best that we can. But like I said real earlier, weather plays a big factor in that, and it changes really quick on the cam. So.
Okay, thanks very much, Dwayne. Melanie, we're going to go to you next. Melanie's in Thunder Bay. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, a few years ago I saw some data that came in from the studies done on the sturgeon that live in the Kaministiquia River, and that they prefer to spawn at the base of the Kakabec Falls. And, of course, the sturgeon needs some ideal water levels and water temperature. Of course, OPG can't regulate the temperature of the water. But I was wondering if any amendments had been made to the water management plan to accommodate the spawning or to help, help with water levels that are conducive to the ability for the sturgeon to spawn during that peak time in June.
That's a very good question, Melanie. Dwayne, do you want to answer that?
Sure. So, yeah, Melanie, we've made some operational, I'll say, changes, but it's basically a mitigation plan for us with Lake Sturgeon. And basically the flow requirements for Kakabec Falls through the spillway during the Lake Sturgeon access, dealing with spawning and larval drift period from basically May 5th to July 1st. And basically what we do is we have a minimum flow requirement in the period of May 10th to the 15th, which is around the approximate time when that temperature comes into play. So that it's around 11 degrees Celsius that we look for. And we've put in different tailwater temperature monitoring devices to help with that. And then we try to maintain a minimum spill of 14 CMS that we've worked with the MNR closely on this project for a number of years, to determine what that flow regime looked like, to determine what that temperature looked like, doing a number of different tests on that portion of the river to help the Lake Sturgeon spawn in those areas. So not only do they spawn at the base of the falls, but they also spawn downstream of our station as well. So we've seen in different sites that spawning does occur. And I think we actually have seen an increase in Lake Sturgeon over the number of years.
Okay, thanks very much, Dwayne, and thanks very much for the question. Let's try to get a couple more in here. Dennis is on the line. Dennis, do you want to go ahead and ask your question, please?
Yes, thanks very much. My questions are, some have been repeated, but I look at your water levels that are within inches of your lower parameters, and when I say inches, I'm talking about 4 inches. And my question would be, why not run the middle of the road as you go through? Question one.
Okay, Dennis, we'll have Dwayne. Dwayne, can you answer that, please?
Sure. So presently, we're following the preferred option line on Shibandoan. We're pretty close to it. I'd say we're about a centimeter off right now. So we're actually following that preferred option line, which has been basically a guideline for us to meet all the needs of the watershed. And so that's pretty much how it's been going this year. We try to kind of follow that. We have to base it on weather patterns and what we see coming towards us in the future and try to react to that proactively as well.
Okay, thanks very much, Dwayne. Let's get another question in. We've got Jim on the line from Forbes Township. Jim, do you want to go ahead?
Yes, thank you. My question might be redundant now. The idea that you were going to do some maintenance on your generating station at Dog Lake, and I was wondering what effect would that have on the flow of the water down the Little Dog River?
Paul, do you want to take a crack at answering that?
Yeah, as Dwayne mentioned, one of the things we did this year was in the springtime, we were supposed to start our big overhaul at Silver Falls, which would have taken the unit out for almost a year while we did a complete overhaul and rebuild of that unit. Based on what we saw happening in March, we couldn't really do that safely with the COVID pandemic. So we decided to defer that work to when it's a better time for us to work closely with our contractors. So right now we don't see that there will be any impact at all on the river this summer because of the fact we're not taking Silver Falls Generating Station out of service.
Okay, thanks very much, Paul. I want to get to a an email question. This is from Anna, and Dwayne, I'll ask you to answer this one. As a local whitewater paddler, I am wondering how OPG can accommodate different recreation users and stakeholders on the rivers. Can OPG provide specifics on release dates so that our community can stay safe and informed?
So Anna, I think how we do that right now is presently through our website. We have some good information on there that we try to keep our people in the community as informed as possible. But that's our one area. Neil, we're having some problems there. Are we okay?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. Keep going there, Dwayne.
Okay. So as I was saying, the website is our primary area for information. If there's different changes happening on our watershed, our public affairs people are involved, and they try to get that information out through radio ads, through television, or through newspapers. Whatever means we can in order to get that information out there.
Okay, thanks, Dwayne, and we apologize for some technical issues. As we said off the top, we're all working remotely this evening, so we're going to run into some from time to time. I want to get to another question here, if we can. Sue in Thunder Bay. Sue, you're on. Please ask your question, Sue.
Okay, I have a two-part question. The first is with regards to the watershed management plan. And tell me if I'm correct. My understanding is that it was a 10-year plan that has expired, and there is a new plan required. Let me know about that. And the other is, as Dog Lake campers, we would like to know why the drawdown is so dramatic in late summer. Your averages are where your targets are. July 1st are probably 40 to 50% between the M&R minimums and maximums, and they're only about 10% above the minimum by September the 1st. So, and then the drawdown flattens out after that. And it certainly impacts a lot of people with docks and boats, and we're wondering why it has to be so quick in late summer.
Okay, thanks for your question, Sue. Dwayne, do you want to answer that?
Sure. So the first part of that question with the expiry of the water management plan, the M&R actually came out with new guidelines through the Lakes and Rivers Improvement Act when that was adopted. And the present water management plans are no longer have an expiry date. So they are in effect and remain in effect until some point where there's opportunities there for amendments. But those plans will remain in effect as they are. For the second part with the drawdown on Dog Lake, so we basically let the reservoir fill back up in early spring, and then through the summer there is a drawdown that occurs as try to keep it as level as possible for recreation. There's a balancing act going on in the summer between recreationalists and outfitters, tourists, campers, people using the lake. And there's also an interest there for fall spawning. So we're trying to get to a fall elevation to enable fish to spawn and then bring that elevation up again after that spawning period just to keep those eggs incubated. So there's a bit of an ecosystem involvement with bringing Dog Lake down at the later part of the summer, early fall.
Okay, thanks very much, Dwayne and Sue. Hopefully that answers your question. We're going to go to Chuck next. Chuck's in Mountain Bay. Chuck, please ask your question.
Thank you, Neil. A little bit of a comment here.
The amount of water diverted into Lake Superior from a Gokie Long Lac diversion averages approximately 5,000 cubic feet per second, or 2,000 cubic feet per second greater than the amount of water diverted out of Lake Michigan at Chicago. The net total of all the interbasin diversions in the Great Lakes shows more water diverted into the lakes than out. My question is, why at historic high levels in Lake Superior, OPG that controls Ogoki Long Lac diversions have not reduced or closed these diversions as they have done so in the past on three occasions, once in 1952, 1973, in 1985 to combat problems of high water?
Okay, thanks very much, Chuck. Paul, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, I'll, good question, Chuck. What we currently have since those last three times, we do have water management plans that are regulated by the province that requires us to have certain flows, certain regimes coming out of Long Lake Control Dam and the Ogoki Reservoir. And basically those regimes has us bringing the water south. To divert the water north, you've created an ecosystem up there over the last 50 years that by passing the water north now, you would be disrupting and flooding that ecosystem. Areas like Kuskokwim, that's where the water goes. And we know every spring they get flooded. So this would just make their flooding worse. So I myself have property on Lake Superior, and I've seen the result of the high waves and the erosion that's been happening. But that would be nothing to compare to the flooding you get at Kuskokwim if we pass that water north in the springtime.
Okay, thanks very much, Paul. We're going to go to an email question from Joey. And Joey says, OPG provides a daily release on the Madawaska River all summer long for paddlers. So just for people that don't know, the Madawaska River is in the Ottawa Valley. The OPG Northwest Stakeholder Relations Representative has told me that the paddling community will never be accommodated. This is a huge missed opportunity for tourism. Why? Dwayne, do you want to answer that? Dwayne, are you still there? Well, maybe we've lost Dwayne. Okay. Paul, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I could take that one. Yeah, with regards to, the outflow coming out of Silver Falls, as I mentioned before, that outflow is it's a peaking station, goes up and down, and it follows the system requirements. So within any 5 minute to 15 minute period, it could be on and then be off again, depending on what the electricity requirements are. So there's really no way for us to ask for it to be stayed on. It has to follow system requirements.
Okay, thanks very much, Paul. We're going to try to get another question in here. John is on the line, and John is in Weir Township. John, do you want to go ahead and ask your question, please?
Hello?
Hi, John. Is that John?
Scott.
Okay. Scott, go ahead and ask your question, please.
There's a small hydro building up on the upper Dog River where the old camp used to be. What is that used for?
Paul, do you know?
Yeah, I think that's a shed that we have some equipment into. I believe it's, we call that the hydro line gauge. And it measures flow on the upper cam, flows and levels, so that we have a better understanding of where the water level is. That gauge was put in as a result of the two events we had, one in 2008 and one in 2012, to give us a better idea of the dynamics of the river system above the Ellis Bridge.
Okay, thanks very much, Paul. We'll get another question in from Ted. Ted, you're on the line. If you want to ask your question.
Yes, I've been dealing with Ontario Hydro on Chibando and Lake for the last at least 40 years. Either high water or low water. I'm trying to give factual of what's happening out here without much success. Any chance that maybe Hydro can start listening to some of these stakeholders? I've lived here for 40 years on the lake, and like this year, there will be no spring bruschette. The ground is thawed, and the snow will be gone. It's going great in the ground right now, so stuff like that. I would like to inform Hydro, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Dwayne, are you back with us? Could you answer that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened, but I got my phone back. I'm good now again. For sure. So we do try to take in all the information that we can. We have a group of water managers here working closely with taking in all the forecasts from all the different areas, multiple different meteorologists information that they take into account to apply that to the watersheds and try to monitor and keep those elevations and flows in the proper perspective for each watershed.
Okay, thanks very much, Dwayne. Listen, it's 7:26, but I'm going to try to get to one more question before we have to go. Bert in Thunder Bay. Bert, you're on the line if you want to ask your question.
Yeah, this is regarding McGraw Falls on the Mattawan River. They had started all this. They had done a bunch of survey work there and everything else. They even had a little talk there and a meeting at the Valhalla a few years ago. And all of a sudden, nothing seems to be happening. Is that still a go, or is that finished?
Okay, thanks very much, Bert. Paul, do you know?
Yeah, to be honest with you, no, I don't. That's not something that we're involved in. So, Dwayne, have you heard anything about that project?
No, you know what? I haven't been informed of any of that work as well.
Well, tell you what, Bert, just send us an email. We'll see if we can help you out over the next few days, and we'll try to get an answer to you. So listen, I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight and for listening. Our hour is coming to a close, and the last 60 minutes has gone by very quickly. I'd like to thank everybody for participating this evening. To our callers, you're able to leave us a voicemail at the end of the call if you're interested. If you have any remaining questions, please leave us a message and a callback number, and we'll get back to you to try to answer your question. Dwayne, before you go, do you have any sites that you'd recommend people check out for levels and flows?
Yes. People should check out our website. It's opg.com/river for levels and flows and that snow survey information that I was talking about. This year, the graphs will be updated on a daily basis during freshet from Monday to Friday, which is something we heard from the residents, municipalities, and other stakeholders. So we're happy to be able to provide that information this year.
Okay, thanks very much, Dwayne. Appreciate that. Now, if you want to learn more about us, I really encourage you to go to our website, www.opg.com. You can tweet us at OPG. You can email us, media@opg.com, and of course you can call us 1-877-592-4008. That's toll free, 1-877-592-4008, and 1-807-620-4043. That's 807-620-4043. And again, thank you for participating this evening. If any of your questions did not get answered tonight or ones that you think about after the call, please let us know. I've given you the contact numbers, and please do that. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening.